Our Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the privilege of praying together. We ask that thou wilt meet our needs today. We ask that thou wilt open the word of God. Help us to lay hold of the truth of it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, that portion of the Word of God that we've been studying together for a number of days. You will recall that we are in what might be termed the introductory portion of the message addressed to the seven churches in Asia Minor. You'll remember that we pointed out to you that these were seven literal churches. They represent seven periods of church history. They represent seven conditions in which Christians find themselves as far as spiritual growth is concerned. You will notice in the seventh verse, we read, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. John heard the voice behind him uttering these words. We know who that voice was, because immediately in the eighth verse, the Lord Jesus Christ himself identifies himself as Alpha and Omega. So the Lord Jesus Christ said to John in verse 11, what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. And as we reminded you one or two lessons ago, as John wrote, he divided what he wrote into three definite sections. We would remind you of that outline that he gave, as it is recorded for us, in the 19th verse of the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. Because now we are going to begin to look at the first division of that outline. In verse 19 of Revelation, he said, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now we told you that the word hereafter does not refer to heaven and hell, as we think of the great hereafter, but it refers to these things that are going to come after these things. In the Greek, it is metatata, which means, literally, after these things. So actually, when the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 11 said to John, write the things which thou seest in a book, he was saying to him, write the things which thou hast seen before you actually get into the book. And then write the things which are concerned with the things which are happening in your day. And this is important to remember. The age in which you live. And then write the things which shall come after those things. The age in which John lived was the church age. It happens to be the same age in which we live. And so John did exactly that. He wrote about the things which were related to the church age. And then he wrote about the things which were related to what comes after the church age, after the church has gone out of the world. And the major portion of the book of the Revelation is dealing with what is going to happen to this earth after the church is taken out of the world. We notice now the first part of this outline. When John wrote down the things which he saw, because you will notice in the 12th verse of this chapter, he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And that's a perfectly natural reaction. Behind him he heard this voice which sounded like a trumpet, sounded familiar, and certainly the words were familiar because he had heard these words before. I am Alpha and Omega. And he turned to see who it was who was talking to him. And there, before his eyes, was the most wonderful vision that he had ever seen. The most wonderful vision that's ever been presented in the Word of God. We might remind you that this is the only full-length portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ which is contained in the Scriptures. And this full-length portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you can see, defies the artist's brush. There's no way that an artist could paint this perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that this is wise, because our hearts are so prone to fasten our eyes upon the tangible. And if there were a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that was absolutely scriptural, we would tend to neglect the fact that the presence of the Lord is a thing that is much more real than the picture we can hang on the wall. And we would become attached to the picture instead of the person and miss the blessings that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. So today I would like for you to notice what John saw when he turned to see the voice that spoke to him. We'll read the verses that describe the vision first, and then we'll go back and try to think about it. Will you notice, please, the latter part of verse 12? Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. I'm going to stop our reading right there, because that is the record of the actual thing which John saw when he turned to see the voice that spoke to him. Going back over the paragraph now, we notice that the first thing that met his vision when he turned was seven golden candlesticks, or more accurately, seven golden lampstands. Because this is not a candlestick that's presented to us here, it's a lampstand, a stand upon which a light is placed. That suggests to us that what these seven golden candlesticks or lampstands might be, in view of the fact that we know this letter is addressed to the seven churches. But we do not have to spend time figuring or wondering or questioning what certain things mean. Because here we have an illustration of types being explained within the book of Revelation itself, which we've already suggested to you. If you look down at verse 20, you will notice the explanation of these seven golden candlesticks. For in verse 20 we read, The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. For the moment, we are interested only in the last statement of this particular verse. Seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So the first thing which John saw when he turned around to see the voice that spoke to him were seven lampstands, and if you will glance a bit more closely at the verse, you will find in the first part of the 13th verse, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. In the midst of those seven lampstands stood the Lord Jesus Christ. He is introduced to us then with that close contact with the churches, the church for which he bled and the church for which he died. And that is exactly what is meant by the Lord Jesus Christ in his relationship to us when he said, Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. John saw him literally that day. We accept by faith the fulfillment of his promise that he is in our midst when we gather together in his name. You may be saying, well, why in the world didn't John say there were churches? Why did he say there were seven lampstands? It would have been so much easier. Well, it may have been a bit easier, but it would not have said so much. It would not have been so impressive. Because when you read that these seven churches were represented by seven lampstands, there is held before you the primary purpose of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. And there is condensed into this one simple phrase, seven lampstands, a multitude of scriptures which remind us that the business of the church in the world today is not to make a better place in which to live. It is not to influence government. It is not to influence the throngs of the world. Rather, it is to be a light in the midst of a dark world, that men might be able to keep their eyes on the light and be kept from stumbling. It is a light that will lead men to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid that all too often, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has forgotten her original purpose and has forgotten that she was intended to be a lampstand to light men to God. Many perhaps who have forgotten that they were intended to be lampstands to light people to God have gotten so busy in other things that the very closeness of the things has smothered the light so that it cannot be seen. The Lord Jesus Christ is represented in the midst of these seven lampstands, reminding them that his light, shining through them to a darkened world, can meet the need of waiting hearts. I am the light of the world, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are the lights of the world, said the Lord Jesus Christ. His light is our light. Our light is the light of the world. Picture, if you will, today, seven lampstands depicting the entire history of the church as a light bearer to a world that dwells in darkness. Churches are made up of individuals, individual believers, and individual believers should recognize their responsibility of holding forth the light in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. What about your light? Has it been hid under a bushel? What about your light? Has it been hid under the bed? What about your light? Is it hid? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Let your light shine before men.